Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
You're a good man. He's David Hochberg.
You need help? I need a shower. My God, sweaty.
It was amazing. Thank you. You'll hear more about it.
What about Banks? Yeah, Banks, what about you? Where you at? Making billions of dollars a year. How about 10, 15 Gs? Right? I'm up for five. You got more net worth than I do. Uh-huh. You're charging people $36 for a bounce check that they can't afford. Yeah. Give me a break. Put some on the table. Let's go.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
He's a good man, that David Hochberg. It is Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
What about Banks?
What about Banks?
What about Banks?
What about Banks?
I'm proud to announce that we have an update.
Oh, no. Has John Danks chipped in?
He has not.
Oh.
But our
How about Jordan Danks?
Jordan Danks has not chipped in.
How about Dank Afternoons that Pat Hughes enjoys?
How about Elizabeth Banks?
We're working on her for the movie Cocaine Bears. It's very confusing. We got a lot of initiatives around here. But for the first ever What About Chicago Radiothon benefiting Athletes for Justice and Austin Harvest, where we're going to fund the construction of a grocery store in a food desert in Austin that employs local high school kids from the neighborhood, our first bank has stepped up. Shout out to Republic Bank. They're in for 5Gs.
Wow, there you go.
That's right. We got a bank on board. Thank you very much to Republic Bank. We're hoping that more people will follow suit. If you want to get involved in this radiothon, get a bunch of shout-outs on the day of, which is June 23rd, 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. You can sponsor ours for hourly matches. Mm-hmm. Please DM me or email 670radiothon@gmail.com. That's 670radiothon@gmail.com. But Republic Bank, stepping up. They care about kids in Austin. They care about giving people access to healthy, fresh produce in a food desert. Republic Bank stepping up with 5Gs.
I'd like to welcome Republic Bank to my consciousness. I had never heard of them until right now, and now I know about them, and my first impression is a very good one.
So thank you very much to everyone at Republic Bank for stepping up and being a part of the Radiothon. Got another thank you. You might notice the shirt I'm wearing today if you're checking us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. This is the more defiant of the options. It says, keep Chicago out of your mouth. The Obvious Shirts store is open. The shirts that you see all around Wrigley Field.
Everywhere.
That just did the great work for Boog Shambi and ALS Day with Major League Baseball, that has every shirt you see seemingly around the city of Chicago.
Yeah, I just got Christine one that says Superman wears Javi Baez pajamas.
Perfect. Joe heard about the initiative. Him and I started talking.
You'll see the shirt. The shirt's coming out soon.
He's a great man. If you go to obviousshirts.com right now,
yeah,
the top thing on the site is the What About Chicago page. We got four different versions of What About Chicago shirts that the proceeds from those shirts will go directly to building the grocery store. All coming together, baby. It's all coming together. So there are four options. There's a What About Chicago with the question mark. There's two What About Chicago logos. And then there's my personal favorite, keep Chicago out of your mouth, because the name What About Chicago is for these people who make these bad faith arguments when they talk about Chicago like it's the boogeyman or some third world place that don't have people who care about it.
Mm.
Like, no. What What about Chicago? And we're going to defy an answer. Don't talk about Chicago if you don't care about Chicago, if you're not part of the solution, which is what this radiothon's all about. So thank you to Joe at Obvious Shirts.
There you go. And if anybody does not know, go get some more information about the radiothon. The best way to do it.
670thescore.com/give.
Because it is a very specific and tangible goal that this radiothon is about that will serve as a template for what could be done from community to community to community around Chicagoland. Turning a liquor store into a grocery store, essentially, and employing kids and teaching them entrepreneurial skills along the way. It's a really cool, specific goal that you are supporting if you support it.
So thank you again to Republic Bank. Thank you to Joe at Obvious Shirts. You can check it out, obviousshirts.com, if you want to buy a t-shirt. And again, 670thescore.com/give. Or if you've got more questions, your company wants to get involved, email me, 670radiothon@gmail.com.
If I was a listener and worked for a bank, I would want to get involved just so I could hear Hochberg and the caller again together.
What about banks?
And what about banks?
What about banks?
It's exciting stuff.
Yes.
It's exciting stuff. And if you think that was a big shout out, wait till June 23rd. But anyway, back to the first place baseball in this town.
It's a terrible national broadcast, and everybody knows it, Danny. And
also debuted this weekend 10 years ago.
There was so much about that broadcast last night. It's enraging. Do you remember 3 weeks ago when I went off on Matt Vasgersian? I couldn't help myself on Twitter and here on the show the next day, because the way he talked about Kimbrel 3 weeks ago was
like, Cubs closer Craig Kimbrel has missed a lot of bats this year. 30 strikeouts in the 70 batters that he's faced this season. He has been terrific. It's Craig Kimbrel 2.0. Adding a curveball and a relatively big usage of the curveball this year.
That is so idiotic for the national broadcaster 3 weeks ago to talk about how it's a new curveball. No, he's fastball curveball and always has been. There have been times where it's been called a slider. If you just look, you know, at a couple different sites, you might see it called a slider. But if you really are doing your homework for a broadcast, he's fastball curveball and always has been. It's not that anything's new. He's just better. So that's 3 weeks ago. Last night, Craig Kimbrel came into the game again.
Craig Kimbrel out from the Chicago bullpen. The seven-time All-Star looking for three more outs to sweep. He has been fantastic this year. 17 of 19 in save opportunities. A sub-1 ERA. A guy that's always had a lively fastball and a plus slider. Has used a curveball in the mix this year. And has been as good as he ever has.
How do you go another 3 weeks and never get word that you're wrong? And how does a producer not catch that and correct? This is the big time. I find that to be pathetic, that you get it dead wrong, and then 3 weeks later you have another chance and you are just still dead wrong.
Keith Olbermann called Matt Vasgersian the laziest broadcaster in sports on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if he knows him from the shared time at ESPN or if he doesn't know him personally and is just from consuming him as a product. But to your point and Olbermann's, it is a question of laziness. My thing with that broadcast.
That's heavy, man.
It is. Because, I know he throws haymakers, Olbermann, and he's a little bit off the reservation or a lot of it off the reservation sometimes.
But that's heavy for a national number one broadcaster to get it wrong and not care enough to know whether he got it wrong or not again.
I agree. It's a terrible look. It's a terrible broadcast. Everyone knows that. I get what's in it for Vasgersian. Of course. National prominence. Big money, one of the biggest jobs you can get in baseball. Right? That is, ESPN's getting out of the Monday Night Baseball business. They're getting out of the Wednesday Night Baseball business. So the only national game of the week on ESPN, the most watched cable sports network in the world, will be Sunday Night Baseball. And he is the person who's running point on it. I get what Matt Vasgersian gets out of it, even if he's not popular on Twitter. A-Rod, it's tougher, man. Like, is it still just about rehabbing his image to try to get into Cooperstown? Because he now is the owner of a professional sports team. He's on Shark Tank. He works for Fox in the studio in the playoffs. Like, he was with J-Lo until he wasn't. Like, what does A-Rod need out of this? What does he get? He just gets raked
spotlight.
Over the
I hate you.
spotlight.
Okay. And I get it, because I remember asking the same thing about Chris Webber, and who had made hundreds of millions of dollars, and Magic Johnson did broadcasting, who had made billions of dollars. So I know it's not money, it's your name out there and that sort of thing, but at least those guys had a degree of popularity associated with them. A-Rod, it is just relentless negativity around him in every city that he goes to, or right now virtually goes to. What do you think he makes? $2 million a year?
I don't know. Like, he's out there and he's relevant.
It can't be worth it for him, man.
Narcissism is a bitch.
I guess.
Got to get yourself out there. Get yourself out there and you'll take the slings and take the arrows, as long as you're also getting the occasional positive and getting yourself out there.
You remember how we were all praising him, myself included, how good he was when he was doing the on-field stuff during the All-Star game with Fox,
yes,
and how comfortable he was.
And
like,
the studio
this guy,
stuff.
He's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Rose and A-Rod and Frank, like, that was great. But then he just totally turned into, like, you know, this mouthpiece for Commissioner Manfred.
Well, there it is. That the shill thing has come upon him now, that there are partners with that in that way. And he owns the team, owns it. He wanted to own a baseball team, as you say. Did you hear him dismissing the sticky stuff, or at least wanting to minimize the chatter about it?
I heard it, but let's play it for the audience.
Hey, you know, coincidence or not, Alex, I'm curious your take on this. Average spin rates, and you know, we've detailed this by pitch type, before and after June 5th, when this story really blew up. And the spin rates are down. Coincidence or not?
I think so. I think it's too early. I mean, I would like to see more data points, but obviously it's a big change. And it's something you want to watch. I mean, the one thing is, I wish as a player and just someone who loves the game, that whatever's going on, it should be less chatter publicly, and let the front office and let, you know, Central Baseball, the commissioner's office, figure it out, give the instructions, and then everyone follows suit. I think all the conversation and chatter back and forth is not productive, and it does not help the game.
So imagine Alex Rodriguez wanting cheating to be kept under wraps.
It's hard to imagine when you put it like that.
Yeah.
Very out of character
it's
for him.
It's really out of character. Please don't talk about the cheating.
He is such a scumbag.
That's a gross thing. That's a gross way of having it out there, of saying it. I mean, it doesn't. No,
it's also not a coincidence, right?
We can, of course
we,
not.
We can just dismiss the baseball point before even piling on A-Rod and the messenger. Like, the message is also factually inaccurate. Garrett Cole's being asked about it. There's more reporting on it than ever. That was a tipping point day for the conversation about the sticky stuff in baseball. They talked about enforcement, more of it. So it's factually inaccurate to suggest that it is a coincidence. We know for a fact that some guys are peeling back on it because enforcement is going to be stepping up.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also not bad for the game. He's wrong that it's bad for the game. If there is what's happening, apparently happening right now, which is that the hubbub about the sticky stuff is working even before the enforcement, then that's a great thing. I mean, you saw the Buster Olney tweet today, April 1st through June 4th, and he had the slash line for all of MLB hitters. And then on June 5th, when the details emerged about how umpires will conduct foreign substance checks, the numbers are up. Batting average is up 11 points. Slugging is up by like 22 points. Travis Sawchuk saying that 67% of pitchers have had a spin rate reduction since June 3rd. 67% pitchers with less spin rate. There's been more contact. The K rate is down by 1%. And that might just be because guys are scared. That means it is good for the game. Hello? That's been the whole idea.
That's the whole point of what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Make the ball in play more, so make it more hittable, take some of the edge away from pitchers.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're demonizing it or making it something that they know is going to be taken seriously, that's good for the game. So he's dead wrong factually.
I got to say, I get it if people are like, you guys are just piling on Alex Rodriguez. Baseball doesn't have a ton of these things, and he is a legitimate celebrity. He is a huge name. I talk about my dad, you know, casual sports fan. Probably knew who Alex Rodriguez was. So it's the type of hire to get people like my dad.
Yes.
Right? It's the same reason that Cowboys quarterbacks get hired for those jobs, because a large number of people know him. But at some point, you want it to be about the substance when the novelty of, oh, A-Rod's on my TV wears off.
And this is why I keep thinking about Vesgersian, because once that happens and that is the hire, then your job becomes different. Your job, you know that Jim Nance stepped up when all of a sudden Tony Romo's his partner and made sure that Romo's prepared or made sure that Romo's comfortable or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Made sure that he would be just on point. Vesgersian's got to be on point to an outrageous degree to make sure that A-Rod can just be himself and be that draw that ESPN wants him to be.
Speaking of ESPN.
Yes, sir.
Cubs back at it tonight. It's great. Cubs, Mets. What do the White Sox have to do to get one of these games? I mean, I get it. It's a couple of first place teams, contending teams, two big markets, and White Sox and Rays do not have the fan bases of the Cubs and the Mets. So I get it.
I mean, Cubs, White Sox, Rays, Lance Lynn and Tyler Glasnow, is appointment viewing far and away above any game on this schedule of MLB today.
It's the problem, one of the many problems with marketing of the sport, right? Like, that game should at least be on MLB Network.
Yes.
There should at least be some sort of flex option.
100%.
Where we could say, all right, in Tampa and in Chicago, you've got to watch your local broadcasts. But this game is too good between too good of teams with too good of pitchers.
Yes.
We are going to show this on our channel tonight out of market. Like that should just happen.
It feels like in the NBA, if a game is not on TNT or ESPN, that NBA TV can still carry it.
They carry local broadcasts of games often.
They often do.
Yeah.
They often do. But and I wonder if they're allowed to carry games going against the national carriers of their games during the year. If there's a marquee matchup,
I doubt it. Because
that's what you're talking about. You're talking about
ESPN has they pay for Monday Night Baseball, and so they pay for the national baseball game of the day. But baseball, especially with ESPN getting out of it, and I know that contract is already there, but for the future, even if it's not possible for right now, for the future good of the game, they should have it where they have the ability to just say, MLB Network can throw a game on.
Yes, against anybody.
We can throw a game on, and it'll be for the hardcore fans, right? If you're not a White Sox fan or a Ray fan, but you want to spend your Monday night not watching the ESPN version of Monday Night Baseball, but you want to, like, this pitching matchup is one that I want to see.
Yes.
There's got to be a way to do that.
There should be a way to do it. It's your sport. It's your league. And maybe they've got to write that into the next national deal. Or guess what? If there is no national nighttime deal,
well, then MLB Network becomes a lot more valuable.
Then they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And carry those local broadcasts. Because they do that from time to time. You know, every once in a while you'll see, you know, a local MLB broadcast.
That won't happen, though. There someone will step up and do the bidding. And that would be bad for baseball. Like, you want there to be national television revenue as much as possible in the regular season for player salaries, for resources, for all of it.
Yeah.
Like, you want Fox or Turner or someone to step up and buy the Monday night and Wednesday night baseball package. But for now, I'm glad we get to watch. Like, I'm glad we get Stone and Benetti, but that's great. But for growing the sport and for, hey, check out two of the top five teams in baseball.
Yeah.
There should be a way to check this game out.
I think two of the top three teams in baseball. You know, on MLB, MLB.com's power ranking, they're 1-3. So it's, and these two pitchers, this Lance Lynn has the best ERA in the American League. And Tyler Glasnow, I could tell you a lot of stuff about Tyler Glasnow. I mean, he's great. He's always had
605.
Thank you. He's always had great stuff. I'm 535 tonight, actually, if you want.
It's true.
But he's
thanks,
always,
Cubs.
He's oh, always had it. Great stuff. Great fastball, great curveball. Now he's added a slider, and it's made him ridiculous. And he knows how to attack different guys with this stuff. He's got 7 games of double-digit strikeouts. That's more than anybody in the majors. He's worked at least 7 innings in 4 of his last 5 starts. And you know that's what Lance Lynn is, too. So, like, this ought to be an unbelievably well-pitched game for the first 7 innings between these two teams. And, oh, by the way, then the Rays bullpen is far and away the best in baseball. Or the best in the American League, I should say.
Over-under for the game is only 7.5 runs.
Oh, my God, under.
Under?
I pound that under.
Pound the under. Okay.
7.5
7.5
Lance Lynn is not going to allow the soft part of the White Sox bullpen to be out there. Lynn will go deep enough that they'll get to Hendricks.
You want I really wanted to see Matt Foster tonight. You want to make really looking forward to it. Oh, sorry, God. Danny. I keep cutting Danny off on accident.
He's totally coming in the game tonight.
He's absolutely going to pitch.
Oh, God.
You want a little show bet on the under 7.5
No, you want me to bet on baseball.
Damn. Thought we had him. I thought we had him.
Doctor, do you know how to get him over there?
This is not my field of expertise. I'm Dr. NBA.
Yeah, Dr. NBA.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But I want
Dexter says, are you sure he hasn't always had a slider? No, I'll ask Matt Vezkirchen. Let's find out.
What if I had a parlock for you tonight?
That's something I'd be interested in.
Yeah.
In baseball?
Yeah. If it was a lock, Speaks, no. if there was no way you could lose, would you bet it?
No. See, here's the thing. I'd probably be good at betting on baseball. Theoretically.
I don't think anybody is good at betting on baseball.
No, you wouldn't be.
No?
I mean, you want to do a challenge?
Speaks.
Yeah.
Pete Rose. Okay. Literally could control the outcomes of the games.
And he still lost money.
Allegedly.
No, but I mean like betting on specific things, betting on a guy to homer, looking at a matchup. You know, when I do the pick to perform, when I do Cubs pregame.
The arrogance of Matt Spiegel.
It's out of control.
I would probably be good at betting on baseball. Sure you would. Sure you would.
More arrogance.
Let's put it to the test. Let's put it to the test.
No, that would be then me betting on baseball.
Just pick all the games tonight. Pick every game.
Yeah.
And then we'll see tomorrow how many you got right.
Don't actually bet them. Just tell. Look at the odds and
against
tell
the
us.
Spread.
This is the long con to get me to bet on baseball Danny can slam dunk the ball.
We're yes-anding you. You said I would probably be good at betting on baseball.
So you just want me to bet. What do you want me to look at?
Look at the odds.
Who's going to win? Just straight up win?
Yeah. If you were allowing yourself to bet on baseball, what would you bet? And then we will track them and prove to you that just like every other sport that you bet on, you also can be a losing gambler with baseball.
I'm a winning gambler in the NBA,
okay,
for the record.
Okay. We'll see how that goes over the long haul.
Yeah, my delusional arrogance is sometimes out of control.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes in the long haul.
Okay, all right. So I'll look at
the
baseball slate.
Okay, for tonight, I like the under in the White Sox game. I like this in the Cubs game. I assume there's other teams in baseball other than the White Sox and Cubs. Maybe you want to bet on one of them.
Yeah, the Rays and the Mets exist as well.
Well, you let me know who you'd like to bet on, and we will track this to prove once and for all that we know the same amount about baseball.
A quick footnote about baseball's disgraceful way they manage their national television. And I was thinking about MLB TV. I was like, this would be a great night to say, hey, you know what? Free game of the night.
Yeah.
Sox and Rays. No, it's Phillies and Dodgers. So if you want to stay up at 9 o'clock and watch a free game on MLB TV, that's their game tonight.
That's not MLB Network, folks. It's MLB TV. It's the app, or you're doing it through the site, and that gives you a free game every day.
That is disgraceful.
And that's after the Cubs game ends, right? So it doesn't even.
Sorry, did I say MLB.TV with their free game of the day?
Yeah, I'm just clarifying because it can get confusing.
But it doesn't technically conflict with Cubs Mets, their national television game, because you said it doesn't start till 9.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that could be very by design.
You should be able to have an option.
You should. Yes. Again,
who's pitching for the Mets tonight, and who's pitching for the Cubs? And what's the lineup?
There's no way to know. And what city are the Mets?
It's Arrieta against Peterson.
And why can't they start earlier?
Dude.
Yeah, Arrieta against Peterson.
Hold on, one second.
And why is
I am a baseball fan. Uh-huh. Who is David Peterson? David Peterson?
Mr. Peterson?
Sloan Peterson. I don't know.
That guy works at the laundromat down my street.
This is Sloan Peterson's
shared
father.
Reference. They got it. They each got the reference.
The
there.
Ferris Bueller reference?
Well, how about that? You became a team today.
Hey, nice.
Look at that.
See ya.
Don't gift that.
Do you think think we never get the same references? Yeah, you're probably right.
We do it all. We do a lot.
Oh.
I'm not Mac.
It's true. You're the arrogance of Matt.
You get a lot of the references of some of the time.
Yeah. This David Peterson guy sucks, by the way.
He's 1-5 with a 6-3-2.
No hitter.
It's going to be on ESPN, baby.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's Parks and Spiegel.
Here comes a 3-2 for Goodwin. And he gulps this one into right field. Cameron's back at the wall. Brian Goodwin in his first Sox game. A 3-run home run. He is 2-for-2. Two balls smashed and a 6-2 score. somebody new every day for this team.
Jason Benetti on the call, NBC Sports Chicago. It's true. Especially story, I think, of the White Sox season has been that of resiliency and just unexpected heroes stepping up, exceeding expectations of individual performance, whether they had a big pedigree like a Carlos Rodon or it was more of an out-of-nowhere thing like a Yermin Mercedes. Now Goodwin coming through. Yeah. It's been ridiculous, man, and it seems like it happens every damn week.
Yeah, it really has been. It's just, I mean, a new guy at the time. Do you remember, you and I were on the air when the Brian Goodwin news crossed that they had grabbed him. Like, well, that dude can play. You know, he can play defensively at all three outfield spots. He's got power. He's always had trouble getting on base consistently. But
I'll always remember where I was when that news crossed.
I know how important it feels to you.
It does.
But there he is getting called up and being put right there into the two hole, and he produces. Interesting thing that morning, Danny, is I was looking on Twitter and I saw people just going ballistic that Brian Goodwin was in the two hole. Lifetime 318 on base percentage, not good.
You're telling me people on Twitter were getting angry about lineups?
Yes.
That is surprising stuff.
I've done it many a time in my life.
White Sox Twitter.
Yes.
Many a time in my life I've done it. But sometimes there are things, and sometimes you learn it retroactively, that lineup position matters a lot to certain guys mentally, with their confidence, with their comfort level. I mean, we all can admit now, and it wasn't admitted for a long time, that batting leadoff can screw you up. We've seen it screw people up.
Sure.
Right? I remember Jed and Theo telling us
about
that
the whole Schwarber experiment, yeah, and where Joe Maddon came out on it. And yeah, there's a guys try to do things that they're not sometimes. Some guys fully embrace it. Other guys don't change anything, but some guys, it gets in their head, and then that messes them up.
David Ross has said the same thing about Chris Bryant this year. Ross said that he's kind of screwed him up a little bit by making him his leadoff guy, just because he wanted to have him get it. That's my best hitter. Let me have him get as many at-bats as possible, and that
sure,
kind of thing.
They're human beings.
They're human beings. So when I saw Brian Goodwin there, I'm like, okay. So you call a guy up, and you don't put him in the nine hole. You're like, you know what? I believe in you, and I know what kind of hitter you are, or let's talk about it. I've done a little research. I'm going to throw you up there. I'm going to throw you up there in the two hole. I didn't hate it, and so I didn't pile on. I didn't pile on.
Okay.
And then it obviously worked out great. It's like, the thing is, what makes the most sense for the math over a $1.62 does not always mean that you have to make the exactly right mathematical choice for a lineup, because the mathematical thing about the lineup is, yeah, the guys at the top will get the most at-bats over time, right?
Well, and in that game, they will get the most at-bats.
Theoretically, yes, but sometimes...
I mean, you could sub guys out, but in terms of, I mean, not theoretically, the one hitter will always get the most at-bats in a game or yes, over the course of a season.
Right.
That is just, I believe, how lineups work, but... What you can say is that even if Goodwin isn't the second best offensive player on the team this day, there are other things that in this one day, this one data point, this one instance,
yes,
instead of messing up where three other dudes are, I will just, yes, I will not have my second best hitter bat second, but my third, fourth, and fifth best hitters, uh-huh, will all get to hit where they're most comfortable.
On Saturday, he kept, you know, Tim was still one. Moncada and Abreu functioning as they have since he flipped him and went 3-4 instead of 4-3, they could stay there. Everybody else could stay where they were. He could leave Danny Mendick buried down at 9, although I think Mendick could go up and be a two-hitter sometimes. I'm a big Mendick fan. Always have been.
Always have been, always will be, of course.
Yes, but, you know, so yeah, you don't mess everything else up. You let things be where they are, and you slot a guy in. And for Goodwin, you're like, all right, I got work to do. This is a big spot, and he's a veteran and rose to it. Similarly, Sunday, Lurie Garcia in the leadoff hole, it doesn't make any sense based on the results of Lurie Garcia's career and his at-bats this year. But if he's going to behave and think like a leadoff hitter and try to do the little sacrificey things, bat control things, and try to just, you know, make contact and think like a leadoff hitter, there can be some value there. I'm sure that I'm making some baseball people crazy as I talk about it. There's always been a place for me for personal nuance in how you do a lineup, because hopefully your manager knows those guys way better than you do as a fan, and they talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Texter comes in and says, just because something works doesn't mean it was the right choice. I can jump out of a plane with no parachute and live, but it's a bad choice.
Sure,
of
course.
I'd like to see you try.
Yeah, sure, that's process over results, of course.
But what you're talking about...
I'm talking about process.
Well, right. What you're talking about is it possible that in a given day, there is something more valuable than the players on base percentage as related to the spot in the order?
Yes.
And that thing would be comfort.
Yes.
Someone else's comfort. Moncada, if you moved everybody up, then everybody's a little uncomfortable, even if you're hitting the better players more often. And so is it worth it to keep everybody else comfortable but have a little bit of a worse player in a suboptimal position who you also can always pinch hit for if you want to in a big at-bat late in the game?
Yeah, and sometimes you'll see that work for an extended period of time. You know, and I always think back to when Scott Podsednik came for his second tour with the White Sox and slotted in at leadoff, and made the whole lineup all of a sudden seemed to make sense, and it seemed to function, and they went on a tear in 2009.
Let's check in with the White Sox fans. Tanny? Jane?
These guys think I'm an
idiot?
Here we go. Possibly.
Here
we go, Jim.
About this or anything?
we'll stick on this for now. You guys buying what he's selling in defense of Tony La Russa's lineups? And by the way, Yoan Moncada, I saw scratched.
Well,
yeah, I'm more worried about that right now than anything that Spiegs is talking about. But yeah, but to that point though, I think, you know, Tony La Russa is always going to have a better pulse of his team than we will. That's why I think a lot of times arguing about lineup construction, I mean, is sometimes it can be pretty useless, because we don't know what each of those guys. There's so many guys on a baseball team, and they're all going through different things at different times. So it's like to question a lineup, and it's hard to argue with the results, right? Like these guys who have been put in positions that they never have been before professionally, from your Brian Goodwins to, you know, Billy Hamilton's Jake Lamb, and they're still winning. So it's, I know, process over results every single time, but it's tough to argue with the results. You know, it feel like you really would be nitpicking to all of a sudden complain about lineup construction when your starting pitching is as good as they have been. Like yesterday, who cares who's batting leadoff yesterday with Carlos Rodon going out there?
Yeah, it didn't matter. Honest, it didn't matter.
Some days it just will not matter, and I think that's a thing to instill in your ball club. Like, it doesn't matter. Throw out whoever. Just be ready to play.
Sure.
And, yeah, I think there's value to that.
That has its own message, and stepping up and saying, you know what? I believe in you. I know you're going through a tough time, but I believe in you.
That goes a long way with players.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, fine. But here's the thing. Whatever the managerial equivalent of BABIP, Tony La Russa's BABIP is through the roof. Through the absolute roof. He's just taking swings, and the ball is landing. It's ridiculous.
That's what happens when you have talent on your team.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fine, but pick a different talent that's not named Leury García to hit him in the damn three hole.
All right, that's today. I can't defend that one.
Why does this guy not understand?
Well, let's look at it. Well, what is it? So that's keeping Abreu at four in the absence of Moncada.
Andrew Vaughn at eight.
Andrew Vaughn at eight. Andrew
Vaughn at eight.
All right. Well, maybe he's also looking at the splits, because Tyler Glass now destroys.
I don't care.
Right-handed bats.
I don't care. Put your best hitters higher in the order to give them more chances to hit the ball.
I'd put Grandal up at three.
I'm not even going to watch.
Why not have Grandal at three, and then you could leave Abreu at four, and you could put Leury down there at seven or eight. Sure. So I'm not immune to doing it when it seems egregious, like Leury at three. But, well, let's think about it. What is his reasoning here? Showing Leury some confidence? Wanting to have another left-handed stick, whether it's a great one or not, against Glass now.
It's got to be lefty, right? It's Tony La Russa. He still cares about lefty-righty more than conventional wisdom or modern-day baseball would say that that matters a lot. I think it's got to be lefty.
Well, yeah, I'll look at García's splits and Glass now's splits. But he also loves Leury.
He's his own little John Jay. You know, like a guy who just plays all over the place. He's a little, not the biggest guy in the world. Oh, I love this guy. God. Put him anywhere.
Nice little John Jay.
Trash.
That's who we had in St. Louis. Jose Oquendo. It's his Jose Oquendo. I could just throw him up out there anywhere. You know what it is? It's his Tony Phillips. That's who Tony Phillips was for those A's teams. Put him absolutely anywhere. I love guys like that, says Tony.
You know what? I think we're going to see something good tonight. I just Googled Leury García, and the first result that pops up is 2021 MLB All-Star ballot. So I think Google knows something that we don't. Maybe we get a homer from Leury tonight.
That happens if you Google literally any Major League Baseball
player. I know,
player
Danny.
Right now.
That's the point.
Oh, okay. I thought I was informing you of something.
Yeah, I'm sure you're informing some listeners of it. MLB has a deal with Google where it's like you just put in a player's name.
I thought I was a bigger baseball fan than you, Shane. I'm sorry. I wanted to inform you.
My God.
All right. My bad.
Let me Google Brian Goodwin.
Texture says that Tony. Nope. Texture says.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out.
And Tony already had the lineup in with Moncada third base in the three hole.
I think that's absolutely could be part
and
of
then
it.
It's like, oh, all right, well, let me just put him in there because I like everything else.
Well, yeah, all the other guys, like, they know where they're hitting tonight, so I don't want to disrupt, you know, eight other guys.
Yeah.
I could see that being
sure.
a thought process. I mean,
could absolutely be part of the thought process. And you know what? Maybe some of those other guys like it. Maybe they appreciate it. Maybe Jose loves to think of himself as the cleanup hitter, and that's my gig.
Leary actually is trying to transform into Yoan Moncada. He's going to have his own song tonight. Like, he's really going to identify with the role.
He's going to wear the short set. He's going to get out there. And
the romper, yeah.
The next themed trip will be Leury Garcia.
Everybody dressed like Leury Garcia.
Yeah, that's perfect. We have some out-of-context Sox audio coming up at before 4 on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello, our Sox insider, Vinny Duber at NBCSportsChicago.com, presented by Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. Get to enjoy knowing the Vuk as much as you do the jingle at JeffVuk.com, because Nationwide is on your side. Oh. Boy, it's music to your ears. My ears, eh.
We better than Boog Shambi or a little, what do you think?
Sorry, well, Boog. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he had a tough seventh inning stretch.
Not a big karaoke guy. There's strike one.
That's fantastic. That's from Thursday's White Sox game. If you missed Boog Idol, was at Thursday at 5 o'clock with Jason Benetti as a contestant. Shane missed it because he was sick. But if you missed it, check it out on the podcast page, 670thescore.com. It was fantastic.
It really was. Such a good sport was Boog to have his singing picked apart by us. And I enjoyed it. And then Benetti was really good and really funny. The whole thing was great. And it lingers on. We saw Boog that next day just in the hallway as we went up to do our show. And Boog said, that was fun yesterday, guys. And then there's Benetti from Thursday's game. Never heard, had not heard that. That's great.
Positive White Sox news off of the bad news of Yoan Moncada being scratched from the lineup. Eloy Jimenez has been cleared for baseball activities.
Yes, medically cleared. This is going to be a minimum of 4 weeks that he's just doing baseball activities. So don't expect him to be activated anytime in the next 4 weeks. But after those 4 weeks, could be a rehab assignment. There is no set timetable, but that would be a massive bat to bring back into the mix. And I say just bat because I can't imagine them putting him in the outfield. But maybe they will.
No.
Not with the way that Andrew Vaughn has played out there.
Gold
Glover.
Yeah, but that's you know, it depends what kind of bat you're going to swap him in for. Maybe could be your mean go down by then. We'll see. You know?
He might play out there again, but this season that feels like just let him swing the bat.
I think so. but that means I don't think there's room for two bat-only guys on the roster, like Eloy and Yermin.
Well, then Yermin's got to pick it back up, right? I mean, Eloy's going to be given the opportunity to swing his way back into form because of what his pedigree is and how much he matters for the future of the team and the spirit part of it. Like that guy, they hung up a jersey of him as if he had passed away when he got injured.
He's back from the dead. He's here.
That's how good the White Sox are. They're resuscitating people.
Other injury news, by the way, Kyrie Irving out for game 5 of the Nets and Bucks series. So it's Kevin Durant alone against Giannis and the Bucks, and that did not go well last night.
No, now he knows how it feels, though, right? How he goes to the Warriors, teams up, he goes to the Nets, teams up with a bunch of people. Now he will get a little bit of a sense of what guys like LeBron have gone through when they're the only superstar on a team, or like what Giannis has gone through, right? It's much, much, much harder to do it that way. And so it's always been kind of funny when we judge guys and you say, oh, well, he didn't win in the finals, and we just hold finals record up against them. It's like, well, yeah, but he's undermanned. He's not on as good of a team. It is still a team game, even though it's dominated individually. But it's funny how that series has kind of turned on its head a little bit.
Agreed. You see, I saw the numbers on Giannis yesterday, 26 points in the paint. So remember the other game? They won game 3, but Giannis took like 8 three-pointers. This is the most points in the paint for any playoff game in his career. So he's gone in there and dominated, as he should.
Good, because game 2 was ugly. And game 1, you know, he's got to figure out what he's doing. We'll talk a little bit more about some specifics there in a little bit. But it's just that series has been ugly. It has not been the most aesthetically pleasing version of the sport. But now I think it's also the most interesting series. Right, like how the undermanned Nets team, what can KD do? The Bucks fighting back, trying to figure out which version of themselves they are. It's actually been pretty good sports theater.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I find myself rooting for a specific team and person that I didn't know I was going to feel.
Chris Paul and the Suns?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How can you not?
It's great.
That dude is playing a beautiful brand of ball.
Flawless.
He had 37 points last night without a three-point attempt.
It's crazy, man.
Without a three-point attempt. And so that's drives and finishes. That's drives and free throws. And it's, as he always has done, dribbling with complete control to whatever spot he feels like rising up and having beautiful form.
And
it's amazing.
Basically no turnovers, 7 straight wins, a series sweep. He's playing as close to perfect basketball as you can as a point guard. And you know how I feel about Chris Paul. He just makes everybody better around him. And like our sports commentary culture has just gotten so lazy that we just judge only all things by rings. And so it's like, well, he hasn't won a ring, so therefore he's not. Okay.
I want him to get one now.
I want him to get one too, but he's got a lot more basketball left in him too. Like he is doing things at 36 years old that other guys who you would compare him to on the all-time point guard list, if you want to do the legacy thing, they're retired by him at his age. And he's putting these games. Now, part of that is sports science, I get it, and the era in which he's playing. But how he's dominating and controlling these games against guys 10 years younger than him in the playoffs, it's absolutely. Even if sports medicine has improved enough for a 36-year-old to still be playing, whereas back in the day, Magic would be retired by now, he's still playing against 25-year-olds, and he's dominating.
Here are the numbers for Chris Paul in the series sweep. 25.5 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 10.3 assists per game. So 25 and 10 with 5 rebounds as well. And then 62% from the field, 75% from three-point range in 4 games. 75%. And he didn't miss a free throw. 100% from the free throw line during the course of the series.
It's about as efficient to basketball as you can possibly play. And he's one series away from the NBA Finals. Today is an anniversary in sports where we will look back, but it actually foreshadowed the future of an entire game. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.